Peter being one of Jesus' disciples. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Why were they praying for him? Well, he was in prison, and they kind of wanted him out, right? So the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Peter is in prison, now sleeping between two soldiers. And this prison that he was in wasn't, it didn't have the toilet in the corner, TV on the wall. You had some, you know, time out in the yard that you could go. This would have been considered in the inner parts of the worst part of the prison. And if that wasn't guarding enough, you then had two guards around him. So Peter was sleeping between these two soldiers, bound with two chains. Wait, he's in prison, in the deepest parts of prison, bound with two chains and also some guards around him. I'm thinking they didn't want him to escape. Like, am I way off on this? And the centurion guard stood at the entrance. So now he's in the inner parts of the inner prison with chains, two guards around him, and someone also standing outside making sure. And he's sleeping during all this, but then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell, and he being the angel, I love this part of him, he all of a sudden, he kicked him in the side, and on his side, he woke him up. In another version, he literally kicks him in the side, wakes him up and says, "Quick, get up," said the angel, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. And so the reason why I want to highlight all of today is about this, is because normally, as we've been doing, what, our Jesus conversation, Let's Talk Jesus, we've been out of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, this is in the book of Acts, and this is just a little bit later. And so I want to highlight Peter being in prison, not only being in prison, in the deepest parts of the prison, not only in the deepest parts of the prison, he's bound by some chains, not only bound by some chains, he has guards standing next to him while he's sleeping. And then outside the main door, you had another group of guards watching him. And in this middle of the night, an angel appears, kicks him in the side and says, "Hey man, it's time to go because apparently some people are praying for you and I'm either tired of them praying or it's time for you to get going." And so I just need you to make sure to remember this part of the story. And this is great, by the way, when Peter shows up at the door that they're praying at, this is so funny. If you haven't read it, go read it for yourself. They open the door and Peter's standing there and they're so excited to see him, they slam the door in his face. And they like go back and go, "A ghost is here." And it's Peter. And they're like, what if our prayers actually came true? So if you've ever been praying, not expecting them to come true, don't worry. The people in the Bible know exactly how you feel. And so we'll talk about that more in a second. The first thing I want to do is it is so good to see everybody today. The energy in the house is up, which is wonderful because apparently the temperature in the building is down. Can I go ahead and point that out? Okay, so we're trying something new. If we keep it too cold in here, you won't fall asleep. So we're going to try that. There's been lots of reports that I'm boring. So we're going to try to keep it cold in here, get you going. Also, if you would like today's sermon notes, I'm going to invite you to download our app. If you're watching online, don't just download the app. Do me a favor. As we're going through, if anyone posts a comment or if you have a thought or if you agree with something, type amen because everyone in here will shout amen. They get excited. We need you to get excited. But if you're in an online campus, we're as excited about you being there as us being here. Here's what we're going to do today. We are going to jump now into the book of Mark. And the reason we're going to jump into the book of Mark, I have this question for you to identify for yourself. And the question is this: who are you in this story? Because we're about to find out that Jesus is going to be with his disciples. By the way, if you identify as Jesus, like, you're a narcissist and you're wrong. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. Like, we need to do some counseling. You could maybe identify him in a spot or two, but probably not completely and wholly. Now we're going to have some disciples who are going to be in a boat and a storm shows up. But then we also have a demon-possessed man. And as I look around this room, I think some of you probably identify with the demon-possessed man. And you're like offended that I would say that about you, but see if this fits you. So this demon-possessed man is someone who feels rejected by the community. Not only is he rejected by the community that's living around him puts him on the outs. While he's on the outs, he finds himself doing damage to himself. He actually, because of his life decisions, because of his actions, he wounds himself. And he's actually bound by chains, and in the middle of the night, you can hear him crying out for help. So when I say demon-possessed man, we all get the picture of the exorcist in our head. A woman doing a back bend, coming down the stairs, spinning her head, vomiting pea soup. Okay, now we know which ones of you watch those movies on Halloween month, okay? So can we do this? Let's set aside the narrative or even the theological debate on is demon possession real or actual? And let's look at the life circumstances that this guy is under. He wants to be a part of community he can't. He feels like an outsider. Decisions that he makes keeps wounding himself. He feels bound, not bound, doesn't feel. He is bound by chains that are holding him back. And late at night, when he doesn't think anyone can hear, he cries out for help. So when I just say we're going to talk about a demon-possessed man and see if you connect with him, let's not write it off because you don't label yourself as that. But what about the attributes of it? And so let's, who else may be the disciples? So maybe you connect more with them. And so Mark chapter 4, verse 35, if you have your Bibles, please open them. If you have the app, read along with me. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. So Jesus has now been preaching. He's exhausted. Crowds of people have been gathering. He's been doing miracles. And they're standing on the side of the lake. And you see this a couple times. Jesus does this amazing trick where he goes, the only way to escape everybody is for us to get in a boat and leave everybody. So they're climbing in the boat. It's now nighttime. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, being exhausted, tired, worn out. And there were also other boats with him. Of course there was. There's other people say, I got a rowboat. Come on, guys, climb in. So other boats are trying to go. And all of a sudden, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The boat was filling up. You have these seasoned fishermen who lived on this lake all day long, and it says that a furious squall, a storm out of nowhere, shows up. So let me ask you this. Who do you identify with in this story? Has there ever been a time in your life where you thought you were going about life as normal, then all of a sudden a storm showed up that you weren't prepared for? Or let's even add to it. You're a seasoned professional in this area of life, right? I have 4 kids. I know everything that's coming my way before they hit puberty, right? You've been at this job for 20 years. There's no way they would downsize and cut you out, right? You've been in this relationship for a long time and you feel like the marriage is going well. However that narrative fits in your life, then all of a sudden something hits you and you feel like you're drowning. You feel like you knew how to handle this situation, but life is throwing so much at you that you no longer can continue to bail out the way that you've always done, and you are freaking out with life. I have a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to hit the like button right now, but I'd love to know this. Is this anybody? Have you ever faced this before? So let's see how you did. Because we'll keep going. So Jesus, in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. So everybody, your life is drowning. You're freaking out. But your friends, your closest spiritual advisors, they're sleeping just fine. Because let's be honest, when your life is freaking out, you would like for everyone else to freak out with you. Is this true? If drama's happening, drama doesn't like anything more than other people to be in the drama with them, because you have to know how I'm feeling. You have to know what I'm going through. And so they look, and Jesus, I'm convinced, he was snoring. And here's, in my mind, this is in the Bible. This is how I make up the Bible. Jesus, and yes, I just said make up the Bible because these are real people. I think they would hear this crash of thunder. Wow, that was the worst thunder sound, and a lot just came out. So like that was like this crackle of a thunder, and over it they'd be like, did you hear that? Yes, he's sleeping. Like the thunder wasn't making him mad. It was the snore of Jesus on this cushion in the front of this boat. And the disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? In another translation, it actually says that they like violently shook him. And they said, do you not care that we're going to die? This was the conversation they had with Jesus. And he got up, and how would you get up if you were Jesus at this time? Not good, thank you. That is like rolling eyes, I love it. I'm getting like visual examples of kids, are you kidding me? Dad asked for one nap this afternoon. So are we like the disciples in this case? Life is falling apart. The world is throwing at us things that we can't handle or understand. We used to think we were in control. Now we feel out of control. And rather than going to Jesus, who's at peace in the moment, we go at him with accusations. And here's how it sounds like in 2021. Yes, I had to think about the year real quick, just so you know. I paused there on purpose. God, don't you care about me? God, why would you let this happen to me? God, if you loved me, why did Dad? Why did Mom? Why did Grandma and Grandpa have to be held behind a window during the season, passing away in the last moments of their life? All I could do was FaceTime them. God, why didn't you heal them? Why didn't you deliver them? God, I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to lose my job. I'm about to lose my car. Why couldn't you give me the finances? Don't you love me enough? Don't you care for me enough? Why, God, do you abandon me in these situations? See, we say that we would never talk to Jesus like this. But if we change it to today's vernacular, you don't have to agree with this. I'm not labeling you this. I fall prey to this all the time. Because if guilt and manipulation can work in my earthly relationships, why wouldn't it work in my heavenly relationships? You know, I'm going to say that again because I don't think everyone caught that. If I can use persuasion, if I can use the power of influence, if I can manipulate, not in an overt way, but in a subvert way, if I can do that with my wife and my kids and my friends and my relatives and my coworkers, why wouldn't that work with God? Well, because he's not man. And so I have to, again, ask this question. Who do you find yourself looking like in this situation? Because they could have said, if he's not freaking out, why am I freaking out? Guys, you remember, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember a while ago, like when the waves were real bad, he walked on them. Do we even need a boat? Like, do we even need this thing? And by the way, it needs maintenance. Let's let it go down. Who cares about this thing? That sail's ripped. Like, do you know what it takes to sew that thing? Like, who cares about this? He's sleeping down there. Guys, a while back, he like caught enough fish that it sank the boat. Could you imagine if he would just have enough fish, like Aquaman? Like, yes, I'm that guy. Like all we need is just enough fish to carry us where we need to go. There were so many what-if scenarios that we could have gone with on this, but what they did is what we do, and we go to the negative first. Because if I'm in this negative position, it can only get worse from this position. But I can tell you this, you can make anything worse by overreacting. Someone here right now, check into Facebook. Everyone pull out your phones. Check into Facebook, check into Twitter, and go ahead and put that face. You can make anything in life worse by simply overreacting. Someone came here today, and that's the only thing you needed to hear. And I love you right now. And if you're sitting there going, he's talking to me. Yeah, right there for you. But Jesus got up. What do you guys want? And this is my part of the story. You don't have to believe this. Jesus got up annoyed. Jesus got up wiping sleep out of his eyes. Jesus got up, did a long stretch, never moving quickly enough for them. Okay? He rebuked the winds and said to the waves, will you be quiet? Be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Just a quick pause here. You think you need all of heaven and earth to shift to stop the situation that you're currently in, but I'm here to encourage you this. Only thing you need is for Jesus to go, shh. You think you need a whole new job. You think you need a whole new relationship. You think you need a whole new. But what you need is a moment standing with Jesus for him to speak into your situation and give you a perspective, give you a thought, give you a reality shift of something you've never seen before. So if you're here, rather than changing all the world, I would encourage you to say this prayer: God, let me see you sleeping in my boat. Rather than praying for that person, that workplace, that schooling, that, why don't you say this: God, can you please shift the perspective that I'm currently having in the situation that I'm living in? And maybe Jesus go, shh, now you can see me. Now you can experience me. And his disciples were so afraid. They have a correct response, folks. I would be freaking out too, because I just woke this guy up from a much needed nap to save me from my situation. And if he turns to me and said, and I'm done with you, that's how I would feel. They were so afraid. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? The greatest thing about our life crisis is that we can find a Christ in a whole new way. And usually when we find out who he is, rather than being humbled by that situation, it freaks us out. But what if in the middle of the crisis, we say there's a Christ sleeping in our boat, and how about this? Let's look at how he's responding, and maybe we should respond that way. But usually, just so you know, and it's going to make you feel better about yourself, it doesn't work that way. The only way you have a testimony is to go through a test. The only way you have a testimony is because you are going to be put in the middle of life's hardest storms that you can't control, that you can't handle, that you can't manage. And out of that test is the testimony that should sound like this: but God. Well, didn't you believe him halfway through? No, not really. Just so you know, my faith was shaken. By the way, next week I was going to be doing the woman with an issue of blood. And I think I'm going to jump all the way to a guy named Downey Thomas. And by the way, I hate that label. I don't think he doubted at all. But the thing that was shaken was his faith. And my concern is where our nation is, where our church is how many people's faith are being shaken right now. You know what? Since I announced it next week, that's what we're going to be talking about. And then, by the way, it's post Jesus' resurrection. That doesn't mean we're done talking about Jesus. It's just heavy on my heart to talk about that. Amen. And so, by the way, if your faith is being shaken right now, next week's a great week to be here. If you know someone who's kind of been in church, out of church, hasn't been attending for a while, doesn't know if they believe in a God, atheist, agnostic, something like that, I invite you to invite them. Because it's amazing what Jesus does to step back in for the one in that situation. And so now you have Jesus, storm is calm. Jesus gets to the other side of the lake. And getting to the other side of the lake, he steps out of the boat. And this we find in Mark chapter 5, which, by the way, I'm just going to kind of summarize this part for you. Back up one scripture for me in case you threw that one up. Because I'm just going to summarize this part of the story. Jesus gets out of the boat. All of a sudden, there's a demon-possessed man. This demon-possessed man has been put out into the caves that they would put dead people. And this right here, from all accounts, is the very first time that Jesus moved out of the Jewish community to minister to someone, can I say this, in a Gentile community, in a pagan community. Now, you may be new to God and new to church and new to the Bible, and this sounds like, oh, Jesus only loves a certain amount of people. No, here you got to know the whole kind of backstory. Initially, when Jesus came, it was for this Jewish people only. And there were other times where people would like say, hey, can't even dogs eat the scrap off the floor? Like, us Gentiles may be interested in this too. And Jesus always was interested in not just the Jewish people, but for all mankind. Not just for all mankind, but for all the earth. Not just for all the earth, but all the cosmos. And I believe, theologically speaking, I believe the reason they crossed Jesus' feet is because he was taking the two sides and bringing them together and getting nailed together for one purpose. But at this point, Jesus was primarily and exclusively only preaching to the Jewish community, but there was a man, a demon-possessed man on the other side of the lake, that he travels to the other side of the lake, he gets out, and this demon-possessed man comes to him and he says, "What are you here for?" And Jesus says, "Who are you?" And by the way, I'm not going to do the voice, but we are legion. We are legion. I just have to. I'm sorry. I have to add color commentary to mine. We are legion, for we are many. Legion at this time would be a Roman number for 1,000+ soldiers. So I don't know how many critters this guy was packing, but it was more than a baker's dozen. And then they said, "What are you here to do to us?" And Jesus said, "Well, I'm here to free this guy." And they said, "You can't just cast us in the outer darkness. There's a pile of pigs over here. Cast us into them." And you may ask, what does that mean theologically speaking? Why did God do that? I don't know. There's a lot of the book I don't get, but I do know this. Jesus said, "Fine, go into those pigs." So all these little demons, they went over, jumped in these pigs, and all these little pigs went wee, wee, wee over a cliff and died. So this demon-possessed man who would cut himself, that no matter how many chains the local villagers would put on him, would eventually break him. He would scream and shout and cry out throughout the evening. Everybody in the area knew that this guy was a menace to society. And next thing you know, he's sitting next to Jesus by an open fire, eating, fully clothed, and speaking. And then some from the town came to find this miracle that Jesus did. And they came down to find, wait a second, where are all our pigs? Wait, Jesus, you just messed with our income. Oh, and Jesus, this guy who's always been freaking out, we don't fully understand this. And, you know, Jesus, could you do us a favor? Could you leave? Could you imagine this? The creator of the universe did this undeniable, unmistakable miracle. And the rest of this town didn't want anything to do with him. Do you know, there's going to be a time, actually in just a couple weeks, that we're going to take over Main Street here in Collinsville. And we're going to pass out pumpkins, and we're going to pass out candy, and some people are going to be given chili. By the way, if you're asked to be a judge for the chili tasting contest, it sounds great until that afternoon. I'm just giving warning. After 5 years of doing it, trust me, it's almost not worth it. And there's going to be people that we're going to connect with, and we're going to talk to, and we're going to give to, and there's a chance. Ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. There's a chance they're not going to want anything to do with the Jesus that we're actually there representing. But it doesn't stop us from being there for the one person tormented that may want to find God. And so now Jesus, he's a gentleman. If you don't want him in his life, he won't stay. So Jesus goes to get in the boat, and then this is, ready for this, this is the one time I question Jesus. I think he's just horrible at his job. And you can disagree with me, but ready for this. Jesus is climbing back in the boat, and all of a sudden this demon-possessed man comes to get in the boat with him because it's Jesus, I want to know more about you. And Jesus goes, no. What? Hang on. It's Sunday morning. They just raised their hand for Jesus. We got to get him to the next step booth. Right, because there's so much to learn about the Bible and how do you connect in a small group, and we got to get them baptized, and we got to teach them the fruit of the Spirit, and we got to get filled with the Spirit. Like, there's all these technical things that we need to do in order for them to make sure their salvation process will be complete and they can be a whole Christian. This is what you have to do. You have to go to the next step. You have to connect with us, and then you got to serve, and then you got to share, and then you got to do all these things. And Jesus did everything but that. He comes to get in the boat. What are you doing? I was going to go with you. Nah, you don't need to. Actually, here's what Jesus says to him. He goes, you have everything you need to go and talk about everything I am. You have had a personal experience with the creator of the world, the one who spoke everything into place. because I have been in your life long enough to set you free. Amen. You don't need to quote the Ten Commandments. You don't need to know the books of the Bible in order. Are there 66 of them, or how many are there? And let's be honest, by the time we get to the Old Testament and small prophets, we all mess the order up. That's why there's a glossary in the front. We have this mindset that knowledge is what frees us. That's called Gnosticism. You don't have to know everything about the Bible in order to share everything about Jesus. You just have to have a personal experience with who he is. And history tells us that this man went back home and revival broke out. That would be the term we would use. He ended up being a leader in the community. And here's what his story was. There was a time that I was bound by chains and I had voices in my head. I had scars on my body. I had desires I couldn't control. But one man came up to me and said this, "Today, shh. What happened? I was free. I wanted to wear clothes. I wanted to sit by fires. I wanted to have a relationship with community." Who was this guy? His name was Jesus. "Well, how do I get to know him?" Shh. Accept him. You know, I've always wondered, and by the way, this next part of the story you're not going to find in the Bible, and I could be completely wrong about this. How did Jesus know about this guy? He wasn't a part of the Jewish community. He didn't open up Jerusalem Times. Let's go to the crazy section. Oh, there's a guy hanging out with dead men in caves by dirty pigs. And if you don't know this Jewish community, you couldn't even be around pigs. They were filthy. They were nasty. So he couldn't read about it in Jewish Times. Twitter had blocked him because he was nuts. How did Jesus know about this guy? And this is the narrative I tell myself. You do not have to take this as Bible truth whatsoever. But I start pulling some pieces together in this movie I make in my head. And there's one thing that I see Jesus do all the time. Jesus, at the end of the night, after all the ministry and exhausted, rather than going home and binge-watching the next thing, he would sneak away into a mountainside, and he would pray. So one option, there was a night that the Holy Spirit whispered into his ear, "There's a man that needs to be set free." Totally believe that, absolutely plausible. But I've also done a little camping. And when I say a little camping, it's because most camping don't have a really nice hotel with a hot tub and a pool next to it. You have to like take your own stuff and your own tents and mosquito spray. And if it rains, you're dirty. And I hate camping. I got to be honest with you. Like, I've never got into it because I'm pretty sure I'd spend way too much money on it to make it feel like the 5-star hotel I want to stay in. But I have done just enough. By the way, I can feel judgmental eyes from a handful of you right now. I feel, I know we got enough rednecks in here. Us blue collar people, we'll stay over here. You guys, you stay over there with your like flints, and we don't use matches. Like, yeah, good for you, you know. So I so want to go down that road and just make fun of people right now, but I'm going to try to stay spiritual, so here we go. Where's the food? We're not taking food. We're going to catch our own food. Good for you. I got drive-thru. And it was Popeyes, not even Chick-fil-A. So, okay. I've done just enough camping to know this, that when you're out by a lake in the middle of the night and you're looking up to the sky and there's no city lights drowning out the glory of God's reflections from the heaven, this lake becomes an echo chamber. You can hear the crackle of the fire. You can hear the teenagers partying. You can hear crickets. You can hear the frog jump in. And I'm just wondering if there was a night that Jesus was on top of a hill praying, "God, Father, I need to be connected with you. These people are depleting me from the glory that you've given me. But rather than manipulating and pulling from them for earthly glory, I reach back up to heaven and I get heavenly glory. God, I miss spending time with you. And these people are hurting. And like a mother hen, I want to gather them up and bless them. And God, I know there will be a day that I'm... All of a sudden, Jesus paused. And he starts hearing something. From the other side of the lake, he hears... All of a sudden, the Savior's heart pauses long enough to realize that there is someone being tormented. And I know that I'm here for these people, but I'm hearing the cry across the barrenness and openness of this lake where no one else is listening anymore. There was a God on this side saying, I'm crying out to heal him. In my story, Jesus heard the echoes of a wounded person, and he got into a boat and traveled the vast seas, and even a storm that would try to stop him, he's not going to quit it, because he needed to step onto your seashore. If you're here and you find yourself and you think only the four walls of your bedroom can hear you, and that shower that you sit in with water running over you because you're tired of measuring your tears, I want to let you know that your cries aren't going into the emptiness of a sea, but they're going into the ears of a Savior. I want you to know that when all of society has abandoned you and the only thing you can feel are the weights of the chains holding you and the only thing that you can see are the wounds of the past that are still opening and gaping and bleeding and you think you're all alone, there's a Savior getting in a boat to come rescue you because he can't handle the cries of the tormented anymore. And I know I'm here for this, and I'm here for this purpose. But when you cry out hard enough, when your tears stain enough pillows, when the wounding is so soul-wrenching, it's time for your Savior to step onto your shore. Don't feel like you're alone today, because all you need is a moment of him going, shh, and you can finally have the peace that you've been so desperately craving for. I don't know how Jesus heard him. I don't know how Jesus found out about him. I don't know how Jesus sailed across that sea. But I know this, that there was enough of a cry into the heavens that heaven stepped into the cry. If you're here today, and you've been crying out thinking that no one has been hearing you, I pray right now that Jesus steps out onto your shore. If the pressures of this world have been too great, Jesus can step out into your shore. If society has been bombarding you, if desperation has been overwhelming you, I pray today that Jesus is proving to you that he is going to step out onto your shore. And in that place, he's going to clothe you with something new. He's going to heal you of the past. He's going to feed you around his fire. And you will even speak differently than you ever have before. Holy Spirit, come. And hear the cries of a desperate person, of a desperate family. If you're watching us online or if you're sitting here with me now, receive the grace that God wants to give to you. Receive the pouring out that God wants to release to you. I pray for even the weight that you walked into this building with to be gone. I pray for those legions of voices that repeat over you to be silenced. And not only that, I cast them out. I cast them out to where they can't even return to you anymore. And I pray that you can find yourself, let's all do this, let's find ourselves sitting at the fire of our Savior. Can you hear the crackle of the wood? Can you smell the smoke that is permeating your clothes? That even when you leave the fire, you'll remember. I pray for God's grace on your life here. But then Jesus gets back in the boat and he says, you have enough. I know this always feels like a commercial, and I promise it's not. But we're asking for people to partner with the church, serving the kids, be a part of the ushers, coffee bar, the performing arts team, all that kind of stuff. But then also this fall festival. What if someone asked me about Jesus while I'm out there? What's your story? What if they asked me a theological question? I'll be on site. Bring them to me. Then you can sit there with me and we can both do it together. But I promise you this. This is an old Zig Ziglar statement. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And what if you're standing on Main Street, pumpkin in hand, pumpkin. I don't know how big or small they're going to be. You're handing, and you look at someone and go, you doing okay today? Yeah, just here with the family. Well, if you need to talk, I'm here. But I hope you have a great day. Well, it's going to be hard. Why? That's when conversations happen. Every time, I don't want to say every time, nearly every time Jesus had a theological debate with someone, they never ended up believing with him, in him. But every time Jesus had an honest conversation with someone about who they are and where they're at, they always followed him. So you have everything you need to be a distributor of the gospel. And then I love this. I have one scripture for you in Mark chapter 5. This is after Mark chapter 4, Jesus comes across, rebukes the waves and all this types of stuff. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 says this. And when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd. Jesus, you're telling me the only reason you went to the other side of the lake, they have great falafels over there. You could have hit that restaurant. There's a great market and village that you could have went and visited. You could have done a whole revival and had people follow you over there. The only reason Jesus got in this boat was for that one. If you don't think you're worthy for Jesus to step on your shore, you're exactly why he would. If your situation is so dire that God has given up on you, just so you know, he's rowing away toward you. I am blown away that Jesus didn't do more over there, but he did everything he was supposed to, and that was reaching out for the one. So now, are you Jesus? Are you cool, calm, and collected in every one of life's circumstances? Okay, I'll just go ahead. Show of hands on that one. Okay, so three people did, but I'm pretty sure I just woke you up. So it's all right. We'll turn the air down even more. So those are our online community. Are you Jesus? Go ahead and type yes or no. Love to follow up with you. How many? Don't raise your hand. If you want to, you can. How many would say, I feel like the demon-possessed man? I feel outed. I feel abandoned. I feel bound. Cries that no one can hear. How many feel like the disciples? You are overreacting in every one of life's situations, and you are now accusing God rather than finding him sleeping in your boat. So if you are the man that was demon-possessed, I pray that the ministry that's already happened helps you find freedom. If you are the disciples, I pray and encourage you to continue on with the process. And why do I say this? Jesus didn't get up and say, hey guys, I'm done with you for questioning me. Jesus didn't wake up and said, if you get me up one more time, I'm going to remind you of the story of Jonah. But this one's going to be with the great white shark. Well, Jesus can't do that. Jesus can do anything he wants. And he'll fly off on a unicorn. Okay, Jesus, like, here's what Jesus said to him. By the way, like, none of that last part is true. Okay, you should just know that. That's all made up just to try and make you laugh. Okay, so what Jesus did with them and what Jesus does with us is he continues to walk with us. And we are not here being perfect Christians. We're here practicing Christianity. I love that phrase. And I honestly think it was Pastor Aaron that preached it a few, maybe a month or so ago now. We are practicing Christians. I can't get that phrase out of my head. We're practicing at this thing. We're not perfect at it. We'll never hit perfection. But here's what I did. Today, I'm going to practice my faith. When the family's sick, I'm going to practice my faith by praying for healing. And then I'm going to stop. Rather than praying and going, okay, let's see what God does. Let's pray, stop, and go, do you feel better yet? Not, okay, let's go back to praying. And I don't know if time will heal them or a miracle will heal them. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to pray for Benaiah, who's in a hospital. 2 years old, fighting with leukemia. We pray as a family every single night for them. And I want a phone call going, the doctors have found him and completely healed. I would like that tomorrow. But if it takes 9 months, I'm going to keep praying. Why? Because I'm practicing this thing. And there's places in my life where I fall short and I'm not sure why God is doing what he's doing. And I find my faith eroding out from underneath me. But guess what? I'm going to say, okay, can we reestablish that dirt underneath my feet? And I'm going to stand here in faith because God, I don't know what you're doing with the building. And I don't know what you're doing with the future. And I don't know what you're doing with people coming or not coming and are online and not online. God, I'm not sure what you're doing with the finances right now. God, I'm not sure. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to practice my faith in standing in you that says, you are my high tower. I'm going to practice and say, God, in you I live and I move and I have my being. And so if I'm living in you, moving in you, having my being in you, God, you need to be in control of this situation. And there may just be a chance, may be a possibility that there could be a time in the future that I actually believe what I'm praying for. I actually find living in me the thing that I've been living with. And if we stay around long enough, there's a chance. Do you guys remember what I said this entire sermon's all about? Acts. So now all of a sudden in Acts chapter 12, I find hope. Because Peter is kept in prison. The church is earnestly praying for him. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was asleep. How in the world can you be possibly sleeping right now? You are in the deepest, darkest parts of the dungeon. And by the way, to add to this, water drains downward, correct? Do you think they had indoor plumbing in this? So he is sleeping in the sewers of the deepest, darkest parts, bound by chains, guards around him, and a guard's outside the door. And Peter is freaking out, saying, Jesus, wake up. Are you wanting me to die? Oh, no, he's not. Peter's sleeping. I wonder at what moment did Peter, heart beating, chains hurting, guards jerking, sitting him down, laying him down, throwing him down in this part. I wonder at what point did Peter go, man, I remember a time being on a boat. when the storms of life was coming against me and I couldn't control a thing. And I remember freaking out. I remember screaming. I remember me and Thomas, we got in a huge fight because I know he can bail faster than he was bailing. Right? Because if life is crazy for you, you just make it hard on everybody else. And so I remember this as clear as night that we were in. And we were going towards the sea, and every time, or shore, and every time we thought we'd get closer, we just got farther away. And I remember doing everything in that night, and it only kept getting worse. But I also remember Jesus in my boat, sleeping. And you know what? I think in this situation, that's him in chains. I don't know if you know that. Okay. Four people get the richness of that joke. So I wonder at what point Peter went, I'm going to try it like him. The way I've always done life just makes it worse. Overreacting. I wonder on this night, I wonder if I could find the peace that my Savior did. And what if Peter hung out with Jesus long enough, walked with him just far enough, talked with him the right amount of times, that rather than reverting to his natural reaction, he decided to do what the Savior was modeling. You're not called to be perfect. But what if we just practice some of these things that Jesus is showing us? So Peter that night gets down on the floor and he falls so hard asleep. The peace of God was with him so greatly that when an angel showed up and the entire inner cell was completely illuminated, he didn't stir. Hey, you're so at peace with who Jesus is. Jesus is now ready to give you a piece of who he is. It's time to get up and walk in your freedom. Today, I want to encourage you. Let's practice these things that we keep hearing about. And let's see if we can just model Jesus enough where Jesus becomes our model. God, I pray for every person in here right now that has been walking with you. God, this is my prayer, God. I've been in a boat long enough with you now that even when storms show up, I still freak out. I still question. I still ask. Sometimes maybe even deny your goodness. But on this day, God, could I have the understanding that Peter had? Could I get the revelation that Peter eventually walked in? That if I just do it the way that you have done it, I can find freedom from the deepest, darkest bondage place. God, help me grow in my relationship with you. Help me find freedom because of what you've shown me. For anyone else who needs that prayer to be their prayer, God, let it be their prayer today. If you have your eyes closed or maybe you've just kind of disconnected, could I ask you to just stay to yourself right now? I want to take the next 60 seconds to say this. If you're here today, if you're watching us in our online campus, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do is get him in your boat by having a relationship with him. Knowing that there was a time that all the earth was under a death sentence and one man, Jesus Christ, was able to pay the price. He freely gave of himself to hang on a cross in order to shed his blood so that you can be saved. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you would like him to be in your boat, it's as simple as believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. So with eyes closed and head bowed, the way that I see that you've believed in your heart is by simply asking you to raise your hand. So no one else is looking but me. We're having this conversation right now. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, could I just ask you to slip your hand in the air just so that I can see you've made that decision? I see those hands up. If you're watching us online, someone's going to throw a comment in the chat. Maybe a tab's popping up underneath you for you just to click yes. That virtual click is just like your hand going up. But then could I ask everybody around this room and those watching us in our online campus to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, today I want you in my boat. I'm done being tormented. I want these chains off. And I need freedom. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every mouth that declared this, every heart that accepted this. And on this day, God, if we are the disciples lost in our storm, if we are the man tormented, feeling all alone, or if we move to a place of maturity like Peter, all of us today, God, recognize that we want your peace in our life. We thank you for today, God. May we go out of here changed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.